Create Your Own Life, episode 118.
You're listening to the Create Your Own Life podcast, the show to help you create life on your terms. 5 days a week, Jeremy Ryan Slate interviews the most successful people in business and in life to help you create the life you want to create. Welcome to Life Creation Nation.
This episode is sponsored by Audible. If you're like me and you're a podcast listener, which if you're listening to the show, you most likely are, then you listen to a lot of audiobooks. So if you head over to jeremyryanslate.com/book, you can get your free audiobook from Audible. So be sure to check that out. This episode is sponsored by HostGator. I've hosted my sites with HostGator for a bunch of years now because, number one, they're fast to work with. Number two, the hosting platform itself is great for what you're actually able to do with it. And another thing is actually being able to host your email as well. So it's a really big deal. Go over to jeremyryanslate.com/hosting to get started with HostGator today. Hey, everybody. What is up? Jeremy Ryan Slate here. Welcome to the latest episode of Create Your Own Life. We are at episode 118. We've had a lot of awesome guests lately, and I hope you guys have really been enjoying it. We had Tony Horton last week. The week before, we had Tucker Max and Robert Greene. And we have went back to 3 days a week just because I've been so busy, and I feel like the quality of the episodes just weren't as good when we were doing 5 days. So I've went back to 3 days a week to be able to offer you guys the best quality content possible, to give myself more time to research interviews, find guests, and also produce some great edited episodes. So I'm really excited for today's episode, and this is a guy I've kind of watched for a while. And to give you a little bit of an idea of his story, he became an entrepreneur mainly because he didn't fit in. He became an entrepreneur as a kid. And it was interesting because he was actually running his first business before the age of 20, and it was in big business in his early 20s. He's been a consultant for many years. He's worked with many billionaires. It's been pretty incredible. And he's even looked at entrepreneurs and tried to discern, do they have a certain personality type? And I don't know if it's quite entrepreneurs, but people that are artists, a lot of things that we deal with. And entrepreneurs are definitely artists in a way. Today's guest is Alex Sharfin. And it's kind of funny because right before this interview, I said to Alex, Alex, I've listened to you a lot of times, man, but how the hell do I pronounce your last name? And he goes, it's Sharfin. Think like shark fin. And I was like, wow, that's a great way to remember it. So our guest today is Alex Sharfin, and let's get into our interview with Alex. So I'm really excited for the conversation we're going to have today because I actually read his book, and I was like, wow, I'm not crazy. We're going to talk about the entrepreneurial personality type today with Alex Sharfin. Alex, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Jeremy, thanks so much for having me, brother.
Absolutely. Great to have you here, Alex. And I want to kind of start first off, we'll get into more of what you're doing now, but with your story of where you started as a kid, you know, you've said you were doing sales and things like that almost as a survivor. And I had heard you say before, and I thought this was kind of funny, that society doesn't want those of us that think differently to unite because they're worried about what might happen. So let's get into that, man.
You got it, man. So Jeremy, you know, from a very young age, I knew I was different.
Right.
And, I always, you know, I don't want people to think like I'm trying to have people feel sorry for me. I always accepted I was different. I understood I was different. I just didn't understand why things didn't work for me that seemed to work for everybody else. I remember, you know, distinctly sitting in class and, you know, being overwhelmed by simple teacher instructions and stuff, and every other person around me seemed like they were doing really well and they could do it. I remember trying to sit still.
Right.
And it would be like I still to this day, I'm 43 years old. I remember tensing every muscle in my body so I wouldn't get in trouble for wiggling in school or for moving around in school. You know, I was just that kid. I always was. And I still am. You know, it's funny. When I was a kid, I was all called all kinds of things, Jeremy. Retarded, developmentally disabled, failure to thrive, you know, verbally challenged, auditorial challenged, dyslexic. And that's what teachers called me.
Right.
So you can imagine what I was called by students.
Right.
And so for me, I always felt like I was on the outside of the system looking in. And when I was 8 years old, my father lost a business. And even before that, like the first time I was ever exposed to business, I liked it. I liked going to my dad's office. There was rules there. People acted, you know, they were there was like a system to the way people acted. And the real world was so random.
Right.
And my dad lost that business. And when I was 8 years old, I went and I started selling in a swap meet with him. Like this was, you know, it was 1980. And my dad and I were selling consumer electronics in a swap meet. And so, you know, at eight, we drive out to this swap meet flea market. We put up a little stand. We're selling some pens and some calculators and stuff. And dude, I remember the first time someone walked up to me and I talked to them about something and they bought it. Like, oh, dude, I was like, I can do that again.
Wow.
You know, and it was on and off throughout my entire life. Like I worked with my dad and I remember like going to the swap meet on the weekend and feeling really competent and confident and talking to people and selling stuff, then going back to school and like failing everything. And so, you know, I think that for some people these days, being an entrepreneur is a choice. I think for a lot of us, we have to go do our own thing because it's near impossible for us to follow someone else's rules.
Right. Right. It sounds like you like me were the kid that had to ask a lot of questions because, you know, I'm the teacher and I said so, just didn't make any sense.
Well, and yeah, absolutely, Jeremy. You know, I mean, here's what's funny, right? You look at, let's just take school, for example. I'm 43, so, you know, I feel so bad for anybody who's younger than I am for what they had to go through in school. But when you look at who you are, and I'm not saying who you want to become, who you decided to be. I'm saying who you are. You've always been restless and had more energy than those around you. You actually think faster than most people. You see the unique connections and you perceive what's going on around you. You feel things that most people don't feel.
Right.
And as an adult, Jeremy, you tell me, those are, in fact, your superpowers. That's what lets you create the success you have. Am I right?
Absolutely. You are 100% correct, Alex.
Now, as a kid, the kid who asks too many questions, is driven to move forward, questions the status quo, wants to know why everything is a certain way, and sees a way to do things better, doesn't get a lot of support. And you know, Jeremy, society has it screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we have this equation that if you don't look like everyone else, you don't sound like everyone else, you don't read like everyone else, you're a broken person. And the fact is, doesn't look like everyone else, doesn't sound like everyone else, doesn't read like everyone else, throughout history is a brilliant person who changed the world.
Absolutely. So Alex, you then went from, you know, this very different experience into consulting. And I want to kind of see where those two things kind of join up, because I feel like just that space in the middle, you know, is a little disjoint. How did you get there, man?
Yeah, sure. So I was 8 years old and working with my dad, and we worked in the swap meet. And, you know, I continued to have a lot of trouble in school. I was one of those kids that I went from special education to gifted and talented to special education, then into normal classes. It was really confusing. I was totally an asynchronous learner. I'm partially, you know, I'm kind of dyslexic. I get really, when I was younger and still sometimes as an adult, I get nervous in crowds, which is ironic because I'm a public speaker. I've spoken to millions of people on TV, but I still sometimes get nervous, have trouble with things like reading. And or doing like math on the fly or anything that like looks good in school, like remembering a finite thing about a country or something. Like I always sucked at all that stuff. But it was funny because you didn't have to have anything of that for business. And so I really always did really well, like with my dad. And then I started working with like some friends of my parents. I started a window washing company when I was 16 years old. I saw a guy who had a company. I started one. I had like three crews by the time I was 17. I had to sell that company because I had signed a bunch of documentation, but I was only 18 or sorry, I was only 17. So it wasn't legal. So I actually like had to sell.
Wow.
Yeah, it sucked. I had like all like bad workers' comp insurance, bad taxes. So what essentially happened was I sold it to somebody who took all that over so that I wouldn't be in trouble. And it was not awesome. And then when I was 20 or 19 in college, I started another business with a friend of mine called Fraternal Finance Consultants. And we did billing and collections for fraternities and sororities. And it was like funny because we had really good software. We fully automated billing way before anybody had even thought that you could. 1990.
Wow, that is so really freaking early.
It was really early. It was 1990. Yeah. We were using Zebra scanners and stuff. And an ASP database. It was a pretty intense deal. And so, but we were using it to bill fraternities and sororities. Like, we just didn't understand scale and markets. So here we have this amazing billing software, and we're billing fraternities, where what happened was we ended up selling that software to a company that billed utilities.
Mm.
Yeah, it went from like a microscopic market to massive. And so as part of that deal, I moved across the country. And Jeremy, here's what happened. It makes me sound like I'm like this boy genius. And you know, I did a lot with what I had, but I think I got lucky a little getting into consulting. Here's what happened. I was in Florida. I had sold my company. I was working through this, you know, kind of software buyout on the billing software. And I was supposed to be in this place for a year, and I just could not get along with the owner. I was not a good employee, and he was a terrible entrepreneur. He ran the company out of business. And there was an existing New York firm that wanted to open a consultancy in Florida, and we talked. I didn't have a job. I'm like, in Florida, I've got nothing going on. My family's in California. And we went to interview with Fuji Media.
Wow.
Dude, that's Global 100, Fortune 500. Like, going to an interview, and we were interviewing for Florida and New York. And it was one of those things like, hey, if we get Florida, then we're going to open an office and we'll work together. And if I get New York, then I'm just going to take New York. And it was kind of a foregone conclusion. Like, he's going to get New York. Can we get Florida? We got Florida, not New York.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was 21 and I was like in the deep end day two. And, you know, when I worked with this guy, Richard Thal. I just ran into him in the Denver airport a few weeks ago. And, man, we did a ton of stuff. You know, we worked with Fuji. We created the digital camera market in the United States. He and I were instrumental in putting those retail planograms together with all of the office superstores. We did the flash memory category in the United States. We sold the first product ever that SanDisk put out.
Wow.
With Fuji. We did the DLT market. I mean, it was an incredible time to be involved with consumer and computer electronics. And given that I had a background growing up as a kid with my dad, my dad's business evolved. It became a distributorship. So it was kind of the business I'd been in my whole life. And so for 15 years, I worked with some of the biggest brands in the world, with Targus, with Fuji, Kodak, Monster Cable, Belkin, really amazing companies. And we built a huge consultancy. It was about $150 million a year. I had offices in Latin America and the U.S. At one point, we had the largest event company in Latin America called Latin Channels. We kind of consolidated the Latin American territory, caused a lot of organization there. We went from a three-year lag time where, like, if the iPhone 5 was available today here in the 90s, it would have taken 3 years to get it in Mexico.
Right.
And in about a 9-year period, we went from a 3-year lag time to a 3-month lag time.
Wow.
And it was just an amazing experience. But here's the issue. You know, I want to be very transparent. Like, I built a massive company and extraordinary revenues all around myself. So I was in a position where when I was in my early 30s and I met my wife and I'd been doing it for over 10 years, I was like locked into this company, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
I built like that, you know, the boutique business that grew out of control. But like every day I had to make the trains run, and every day I had to be involved. And I met Katie, and traveling 90% of the time, like that stuff just didn't work anymore. So, you know, part of the reason I do what I do today with entrepreneurs, and part of the reason we have the classes in person that we do and the classes online, is that I don't want anyone to ever go towards freedom of being an entrepreneur and lock themselves in a corner like I did.
Mm. Absolutely. So it sounds like you guys just didn't really systemize. So you were in quite a bit of trouble because of that.
So here's what happened. I was young, and I built this company really fast, and I built offices throughout Latin America. I bought, you know, I just kept building. But what happened was, instead of saying, how do I make my life easier? I grew the business, and I filled for what the business needed. And Jeremy, there's this really interesting time frame for me in story. So, you know, in my career, I have had the opportunity to work with a bunch of people who are billionaire status. That gives you some unique view of people and of success. And even more, I have this really intense experience of having several of my friends close up become billionaires from relatively humble means. And here's this thing that kept happening. So I with one friend in particular, Jeremy, I remember I would go visit him. And each time I saw him, you know, early on, he'd have like an assistant and somebody helping him with stuff. And like his food would be delivered. And then I'd come back to Florida and I'd like run my company. And I'd be doing everything and, you know, taking on more and working harder and trying to figure out how to get more out of each day and managing time and all of that stuff. Then I'd go see my friend and he'd be like surrounded with more people. Only this time his clothes are getting delivered and they're washed and like somebody's cooking his food and somebody's driving his car. And I'm like, holy cow, like what's going on? This is such a waste. And then as I come back to Florida and I'm building everything I can like you do in a traditional business. And every time I went and saw him, he had more help. And I remember this one trip I went up there and I just wasn't catching on with the fact that like his success was exploding and I kept going back and working for myself.
Right.
Because I went up there and I remember we were in his office in New York and we got up from his office in New York. We went out to a helicopter pad. We got on a helicopter, flew over to where the helicopter landed, got on a plane, flew down to Florida, got into another driven car and then drove to a place where we went and had a meeting. And for that transition from like office to chopper to, you know, plane to car, there's probably 50 people involved. Like everywhere we went, somebody was talking to him, somebody was moving him, moving a car, flying a helicopter. I mean, all of this stuff, pilots, it's not the same people, right?
Right.
And I remember turning to him when we were in Florida and saying, dude, doesn't it kind of embarrass you sometimes that like 50 people had to get you from New York to Florida? I mean, I take off from Florida, it's me, and I land in Argentina by myself. And I remember it was like this slap in the face, but thank God I got it. Because he looked right at me and he was like, Alex, you know better than that. You've been coming here long enough to know what these people do. And you've been coming here long enough to know what they do. They recruited each other. If I was to have opened a door, grabbed a piece of paper, done anything that wasn't planned and that didn't give us leverage as a team, they would have panicked, not just me. And I remember thinking like, holy shit, that is such a different way to look at this.
Yeah.
And he said, he said, every single person here knows that if they help me get more done, they're all safe. And we communicate that over and over again. And I remember going back to my office and thinking like, holy crap, man, I am doing this wrong. How do I get to the place where I think that way? And so when I sold that company, the consultancy, I committed that, you know, moving forward, I was going to run businesses differently, get far more leverage, and really build the life that I wanted. Not, you know, I don't care what anybody says, and I don't care who Snapchat you watch. Working 16-hour days sucks.
Yeah.
And when you do them 10 days in a row, it sucks even worse. And when your body starts breaking down and you can't see straight anymore and you snap at your wife and you yell at your kids and you road rage on the way to the office, you aren't fooling anybody. You are hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, you know, building a business that builds my life and I have no compartmentalization, it is all one, is where I've arrived, and that's what I help people do today.
Absolutely. I think this is actually the perfect segue to get a little bit more into, you know, what the entrepreneurial personality type is, because I think it's just it's really interesting how I think sometimes, like you were saying, we can be our own worst enemy or also, you know, our own greatest help. So I kind of want to find out, first of all, how did you kind of have this discovery of, you know, we're not just, you know, different than everybody else. We're pretty much wired different. You know, how did you find the entrepreneurial personality type?
Oh, man. So, Jeremy, I'll kind of start with the origin of when I started studying this stuff, because I think it's important to kind of let you know a little about myself, because I think we all live in this world where we think we're just like everyone else. And I've always felt that way.
Right.
And so I didn't think there was anything particularly different from me other than the fact that I felt different. But when I was a kid, I didn't go out to recess. I didn't go out to lunch. You know, I was scared of most things, which is really weird when people see me today. I'm 6'2". I'm athletic. You know, I've done martial arts. People would never assume that I would be intimidated. In fact, intimidated, most people find me intimidating. But as a kid, I was scared all the time. So I read. So I would isolate and read. So I learned in grade school that there was a way to sneak into the library and hide. Once I got kicked out of there, I learned that if I told them I had allergies, I would be allowed to sit in the principal's office during any time that people went outside, and I would read. And early on, you know, I remember being in second grade, and not being able to quote unquote read because I couldn't slow my mind down slow enough to follow along with the words as slow as the kids in my reading group.
Wow.
And so no matter what would happen, I would always be off task, or I would always have read ahead because they would be reading it and I would just start skipping ahead. But then when the teacher would call on me, I'd get nervous and I have dyslexia. So the words would jumble. Like they get much worse when things get loud for me. And so in school, I didn't know that the teachers didn't know I could read, but on my own, I was reading everything I could get my hands on because I felt so broken and so out of touch that I felt like, man, where do I go find what's going to be okay or what's going to make me okay? And I had this instinct from a young age to read about successful people. Like, is there anyone out there who's done anything that I could replicate?
Right.
And here's what happened, Jeremy. I went out looking for what success would look like. And what I found was entrepreneurs throughout history have transparently and bravely said that success looks broken and that they weren't okay and that they struggled and that they felt pain and cognitive dissonance and frustration and that they felt like there was something wrong with them. And, you know, I went out looking for what success looked like. And what I found was, you know, Einstein didn't speak until he was 4. Thomas Edison got kicked out of school. Ronald Reagan was a terrible student. You know, you know, Steven Spielberg had to sneak on a lot and pretend like he worked there for anybody to pay attention to him. And what we see is this history with all of us of this uniqueness, this difference, this thing that makes us stand out. And so it didn't come to me right away, because when you read 10 biographies, they all look different. Mm-hmm. When you read 100, you start to see some similarities. But Jeremy, when you start reading thousands, the lives of entrepreneurs are so similar. And our behaviors are so similar. And the fact is that where we look contradictory and different and unique and often like we're a party of one, we're not. Like, you tell me, have you had that feeling like you are totally alone?
There's definitely been times, man, when you're just like, it's funny because my wife and I now make for our business, we make time to plan it together because I feel like that's really important, because in the past it sucked doing it by yourself, man.
And Jeremy, you know, the fact is, one, congratulations. My wife always says if you have process in a marriage isn't sexy, but you'll end up having a lot more sex.
That's great.
And it's true. And, you know, the fact is that we can feel totally alone. But you brought this up earlier. You know, my whole life I've helped entrepreneurs double, triple, quadruple businesses. I understand the personality type better than anyone else. You know, people read our book and they say, man, for the first time I understand myself. And here's why. I know exactly what it feels like to be like us. It's not just that I have my own experience, but as a consultant, I was up close and personal sitting next to hundreds of people that were walking into the hardest meeting of their life every single day, multiple times. And that was a normal day for me. Mm. I got to see people in a stress level that most people don't get to see repeatedly over time. And what I realized was this: we really are different. And when you combine the stories of success historically and then my experience just watching people and identifying our personality type and what makes us successful, here's what I found. Not only are we not uniquely different and alone, entrepreneurial personality types, the people like you and I, the ones who wake up every morning and want to do something new, change the world, create a new outcome, create a better future, and declare that we're going to pull it forward and do it today, throughout history, these are the exact same people who have changed the world.
Well, and I think when you look at it that way, there's a big similarity between entrepreneurs and artists of different type. We tend to pull in a lot of these people that want to stomp down what we're doing because they're actually afraid of it.
You know, and I agree, Jeremy. You know, the fact is that when you look at the entrepreneurial personality type, one of the reasons that I don't just call it entrepreneur is that I think artists and those who want to change things, those who want to express their vision, you know, EPTs are those who get up in the morning, and while the rest of the world desperately clings to average and fights to maintain the status quo, we're the small subpopulation, the small segment of humanity that gets up every day and says, let's change things. We can do better. We can make this world better. We can help each other more. We can create a better contribution and a better outcome. Let's start now. And the problem is, and the challenge, you know, Jeremy, the challenge today is that in our world, the vast majority of people fight to keep things the same.
Mm-hmm.
And desperately hold on to what yesterday was. And when I say that we're different, I want to make things very clear. I absolutely believe we are different than the rest of humanity. We are momentum-based beings. We are driven by this force throughout history that has called to us, that has pled with us, that has drawn us forward to go create a better future. And it's that thing, that feeling, that Zen moment, that feeling of everything going right for us. It's called momentum. And I know, like me, Jeremy, you get a physical charge just off that word, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, you want to like move, man. You're like, I got to go do this.
I got to do this. And you know what, dude? Here's what I want us everyone to hear to know. You know, I know you have a mixed audience, Jeremy, and a lot of them are younger. And to anyone who is just starting out, and even if you're not just starting out younger, you're just starting out period or going through a transition or any of those things. Here's what I want you to understand. If you have the thought that you want to do something greater, if you have the momentum or the feeling that you want to change things, if you're feeling like there's something more for you, something more important for you to do, something calling to you, lean into that thought. Because the only people who have those feelings are those who have the capability, the ability, and the magnetism to attract what they need to make those outcomes come true. And it's trusting in the fact that you were given the thought because you can achieve it that allows you to move forward and actually get all the affluence and all the influence you want.
Absolutely. And I'll be honest with you, Alex, that was the big reason that I was excited to have you on the show, because the whole idea behind Create Your Own Life is, you know, we started out as just a business show, but, you know, it's expanded where we've had some actors, musicians, because I think you can create your life, your own life, in so many different ways. You know what I mean? And I think we may not all be in business, but we are in some way, shape, or form. And I think we're able to see that in each other, you know?
Well, I think that the whole title of the show really describes the entrepreneurial personality type.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's who we are. You know, you look at people like you and I who wake up and want to do things different. We have to create our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Any attempt for us to try and fit into someone else's mold usually feels like we're wearing someone else's underwear. And even if it's the right size, it's just not quite right.
That's the best, right? Best description I've ever heard, man.
Yeah. And it's true. It's true. And so the fact is, like, even where there's a template, even where there's a mold, we want to tweak it just a little to make it our own.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it, when I say it's a subpopulation among humans, can you imagine if everyone was like us?
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, you know, there has to be the group in society that pushes everything forward. In every species, there's a subpopulation that pushes that species forward. And my hypothesis, my belief, as you know from reading the book, Jeremy, is that there's people in our society who organize things and have throughout history. They keep things straight. Then there's a little bit bigger group that, you know, maintains our oral tradition and talks and shares stuff. And then there's a much bigger group that takes care of the tribe and, you know, makes sure that things happen. And then there's a small subpopulation in every species that kills shit. And that's us. And you tell me, brother, haven't you woken up every day of your life knowing you were on the hunt for something?
Yeah.
We are evolutionarily, we are the subpopulation that is the hunters.
Well, and I think the funny thing about that is, though, you get in conversations with people that just don't get it, and they think you're nuts, man.
Oh, I mean, let's be clear. Every entrepreneur is crazy until they sell something.
Yeah.
I mean, I was told I was nuts my whole life, and today, I mean, the only reason I'm called eccentric is because I have money.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I would just be called a broke, crazy person.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, no, all of us, you know, let's be honest. So many entrepreneurial personality types today have been told they're broken, they're labeled, they're ADHD, bipolar disorder, depressed, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that all of that crap, all of those words, all of those labels, anything that's been ascribed to you has been made up by some fucking committee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually a committee of people who aren't like us, because how many committees have you ever willingly participated on? If you're like me, that answer is zero.
Haven't even had jury duty.
Exactly. So the rest of the world, who likes to sit on committees and vote over details, decides what type of diseases you and I have. And if you read anything like the description of bipolar, I often stand in front of rooms of entrepreneurs and I say, stand up when you relate to five of these, and I read the depressive side. Then I say, sit down when you relate to five of these, and then I read the manic side. And by the end of me doing that, everyone in the room has stood up and sat down.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, throughout history, the world has been terrified of the person who wakes up in the morning and wants to change everything. And today they're trying to label, medicate, and diagnose us out of existence.
Well, I guess as the entrepreneurial personality, we're dealing with a lot of suppression, man. So like, so what do you think that people like us need to do to be more successful? You know, how do we make those things happen?
Well, Jeremy, I think one of the first things is understanding that we don't live in the world that the rest of society does. And I don't want to sound like a complete nut. I know I do often, and I'm okay with that. It's not my intention. But here's what I mean by that. The rest of the world has these bullshit terms like happy and sad. Jeremy, I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. And I don't think most people like me know what that means. Let me make this clear. You know, I think we all know kind of what happy is and kind of what sad is. But what are the two really? Like, what does that mean? And what's the difference between happy, sad, frustrated, pissed off, ticked off, confused, and just plain, I'm not going to talk to you?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference to you, Jeremy, in those words? Can you tell me the difference?
No.
So, you know, here's the issue. Most of us have been chasing these feelings all of our lives. I want to be happy. I want to be satisfied. I want to be excited. I want to have whatever these words are. And the fact is that they're completely elusive, undefined, and near impossible to achieve for us because we've been chasing one thing our entire lives: momentum. Forward progress, getting stuff done. It's all wrapped up in momentum. And guys like you and I, people like you and I mean, there's just as many female EPTs as males. There's just as many female hunters as males. You just watch. Because once you start identifying them, you know, we exist in three states, Jeremy. The first one is momentum. You tell me what it feels like. What does it feel like when you're in that Zen moment, that flow, everything's going your way?
It's time stops, man. You can just like do anything with no matter how much time you have.
So would you say that you are physically boosted, like you can do more?
Absolutely.
So no question, right?
No.
What about cognitively boosted? Do you think faster, think clearer, get more done?
Totally.
And now here's the big one. Chemically boosted? Like, do you actually feel the chemical change in momentum?
What would you qualify as chemically? I don't quite understand.
So chemically is you have like that chemical boost feeling, like you feel positive, you have the dopamine going, you have kind of like that chemical high of momentum.
Yeah, because you're kind of pulled out of everything, and all the shit around you isn't hitting you anymore.
So when you're in momentum, it almost insulates you from what's going on. You have that feeling,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
See, that's what for people like us, that's being alive.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we remember that when we're making forward progress, when we have perspective, when we're going after what we want, that is when our lives work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second state of momentum, or the second state we exist in that you have to be careful with, is in constraint. Now, this is this weird state of momentum where you're facing resistance, things are coming against you, they're slowing you down, you're around people who are suppressive people, and there's people who are screwing with you, and there's just one small light at the end of the tunnel. And it's that time where life piles everything up, where you don't have enough resources, you don't have enough time, you don't have what you need. There's no way you're going to make it through. You see that little light at the end of the tunnel, and you know what crazy people like us do? We create momentum.
Right.
In fact, you tell me, have you had that time in your life where it was exactly that situation? There was no way you were going to make it through, and that is in fact where you changed and created your life?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I gotta say, man, this was the thing that made the biggest impact on me.
From the book. Yeah. And because see, here's the third state. Now, this is the one we all have to be careful with. And Jeremy, I'm one of the people who will talk about this because I teach real business owners how to grow real businesses. And sometimes when you grow a real business, you have a couple hundred people around you, millions of dollars, things get really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Being an entrepreneur is the most difficult commitment anyone will ever make. That's why I think most of the successful ones had to. I know I did. And it can be totally overwhelming. And when we feel like we are in constraint, so there is momentum that is going forward. There's facing resistance. That's when we can find that light at the end of the tunnel. But the third state for people like you and I is in constraint. It's when we're held in place, when we, circumstances, our life, what we put ourselves through, what other people put ourselves through, the situation, the system that we're in, holds us in place. And we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Have you been there, Jeremy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the physical breakdown?
Absolutely.
How fast was it?
It was pretty damn quick.
Do you remember the cognitive breakdown, like jumbled thoughts, racing thoughts, not being able to make decisions?
Well, it's not even jumbled thoughts, man. You just can't think at all.
Can't think at all. And then do you remember the chemical down?
Yeah.
Like being brought down.
Yeah, you're sitting there, man, and you're just like, oh, is this going to work? Something's got to give. You know, you're kind of in that place.
Yeah. See, that's what's important for people like us to understand, is that we are physiologically sensitive to momentum and we are highly sensitive to constraint. So in our lives, we need to constantly be looking at what creates momentum for us. How do we move forward? How do we create our future? And this chapter is not in the book, but when people come here in person, and for anyone who's listening, if you want to download the book, I don't want to be coy. We actually have a download site for you. It's sharfin.com, my last name. .com, and we created a special one for Create Your Own Life because, Jeremy, I really appreciate you bringing me on. You go to /CYO, like Create Your Own Life, CYO Life, download the book, and you can see if you identify as an EPT, because one of the things that's so crucial for us is that we do move forward and we create momentum. But here's the other part that's really important. So, Jeremy, you've already identified one of these. When you were younger, you felt different from those around you. When do you remember feeling like remembering that you were different or understanding you were different, having that recognition? How old were you?
God, I want to say probably kindergarten, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you and I both.
I got kicked out of kindergarten, so yeah.
Yeah, I almost got expelled from kindergarten as well for dropping a guy when he touched my sister. I was like 4 or 5 years old. It wasn't on purpose. Like I say, dropping a guy like I'm having a schoolyard brawl. I was 5 years old. Some guy came up, touched my sister. It scared me to death. And I just reflexively punched him. But I like same thing. So how old were you? And now that's the first awareness of an entrepreneur, is that you knew you were different. How old were you when the motor turned on and you couldn't turn it off? Here's what I mean by that, Jeremy. Psychology says that we have external or internal motivation, that we have to be chasing something or something inside of us is driving us. And I think people like you and I just have innate motivation. We can't turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how long that's been for you?
It actually took me a while. I'm going to say 24 years old was probably the time, because I did what you would say, quote unquote, the right way to do things. You know, I went to undergrad, went to grad school, got a degree, taught school for a couple years, and I was miserable.
Suffered through it.
Yeah.
So, you remember hitting innate motivation at 24.
Mm-hmm.
Can you turn it off today?
No, absolutely not, man. I can't be an employee. I can't.
You can't. You couldn't turn it off if you wanted to, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's the second awakening of the entrepreneurial personality type. You knew you were different. You started with innate motivation. You can't turn it off. And now the third one is, we call it the call of contribution. And it's that voice in your head that says, hey, there's something more important here. And it starts as a whisper. And it might say, hey, I think you can do more. Don't you think you can do more? Shouldn't you do more? I think you can be making a bigger contribution, a bigger change. What should you be doing? And then it's not even a whisper anymore. It's like a drone. It's just ongoing. Hey, you can do more. There's more here. And then it becomes like the only voice you can hear sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it pushes you to go out and make things better for those around you. How old were you when you remember hearing that, Jeremy?
I kind of told it to shut up for a while. So I want to say, you know, probably 15, 16.
And then you sat on it for a while, right?
Sat on it for a while because, you know what, it's not what everybody else accepted. It's not what my family wanted, you know?
Jeremy, how hard was it to ignore that voice?
Dude, it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, didn't you feel like you were ripping yourself apart?
Mm-hmm.
Because here's what we know about entrepreneurial personality types. We can all look at entrepreneurs in public and the dogma that's out there about people who own businesses and all the bullshit about the 1% and how successful people take too much. But if there was ever a class of person who should not be taxed, it's the entrepreneur. Because entrepreneurs make as much money as they can, as fast as they can, until they give it all away. And history has proven that. And guys like you and I, who wake up every morning and expose to ourselves to the vulnerability and risk of saying, I am an entrepreneur and I will make things different, do so not because we're driven for ourselves and not even because we're driven by money, even though it's an exceptional way to keep score.
Mm-hmm.
We're driven to make a greater contribution. And the faster we recognize that, and we recognize that contribution is how we really move forward, our lives change. And Jeremy, sometimes people get confused with me because I say contribution and they think I talk to charities or something. I'm a capitalist. When people say, what's your religion or what's your political party? I say capitalist and I'm serious in both cases.
Mm.
And the fact is, capitalism is a perfect system when done correctly because it allows me to exchange what you have of value and assign a value to it. And prior to capital, I had to hurt you to do that.
Right.
And so capitalism saved us. It hasn't hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
And in a capitalist system, capital flows to contribution. So for people like you and I, accept your birthright, accept the calling you already hear. Lean into the voice that says, go change things, go make things bigger, go do something more, go make your greatest contribution, because that is how you get to all the influence and affluence you want in the world.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more, Alex. Like, this has been incredible, man. Seriously. Well, we're actually running a little bit low on time, but before we do, are you ready for some rapid fire questions?
Let's do it, Jeremy.
This episode is sponsored by iBoom Media. iBoom has done so much for my social media, growing my Instagram following from 1,500 to now well over 9,000, and taking my Twitter from 400 to now over 4,000. It's been incredible what they've done for me, and they get you real followers, people that actually interact. You can check them out over at www.iboommedia.com. All right, you're selected to give a commencement speech at the university of your choice. What topic do you cover and why?
All the things that college didn't tell you because all those people are screwed.
It's so true. Do you have a quote that you've leaned on through your success?
Every failure carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater success. That's Napoleon Hill. I have the first edition of Think and Grow Rich. And when I went, when Katie and I lost everything, I picked up that book off of a shelf, not the first edition, but an older one, opened it to that quote, and I have never been able to forget it.
Wow, that's powerful. What's one book that's had a big effect on your life?
Think and Grow Rich. And I want to make something clear. Like, I'm not one of the speakers who just tosses that out there because everybody always has. I've extensively studied Napoleon Hill, the providence of the book, how it was written, how he did the interviews. I own a first edition. I've read a lot of his other works. I've actually found some of the notes from some of the interviews. So I am like a Think and Grow Rich junkie.
Wow.
But I think it's because if you look at that book and kind of the consolidation of the work around that time, that was a very pure work of human achievement without a sales letter in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've memorized that sucker, man. It works.
Absolutely. If you could give yourself one piece of advice as a younger individual, what would that be?
There is nothing wrong with you.
Love that.
When I was a kid, I did everything I could to fix what was wrong. And had I just paid attention to what I was good at and told everyone to fuck off, I would have been so much further along.
I love that. Well, people have very different definitions of success, Alex. But if you got a chance to define success, what would it mean for you?
That's easy, man. Every morning I wake up with one intention. You know, Wayne Dyer talks about intention. I think you actually have to state it. I want to be the best husband I can be, the best father I can be, and help as many people as I can achieve their goals. And if I can do those every day in that order, then I'm good.
Absolutely. Well, Alex, you mentioned a book that people can get as well, but where can people find you, man?
So you can go to sharfin.com/CYO life. So like create your own life and download our book, Entrepreneurial Personality Type. We just had it. If you've downloaded it, Jeremy, you should download it again. We just had it reformatted. So it looks like a Kindle in a PDF, but it's really easy to read. I'm big on details like that. I know for guys like you and I, that means something. So check it out. If you do downloads or lead magnets, you should check out how well this formatted for iPhone and for Android. The other place that you can hang out with us is on Facebook. We have a Facebook group called Entrepreneurial Personality Type. There's a ton of videos, bunch of people in there. It's a lot of fun and a lot of information to learn how to move forward.
Absolutely. Well, Alex Sharfin, thank you so much for being on the Create Your Own Life podcast today.
Jeremy, this has been a pleasure, brother. And, you know, if you get any questions, if there's any more needed, I'd love to come back someday.
Absolutely. So I hope you guys enjoyed hanging out with Alex Sharfin today. That's one I was really looking forward to just because I find his premise on how entrepreneurs think to be very intriguing. So it was really cool to dig into that, find out a little bit of his own experience, because I think that definitely as an author influences your writing. So it's interesting to see where he came from. So be sure to check out that free Entrepreneurial Personality Type ebook over at sharfin.com/CYO life. And also be sure to check out the Facebook group he mentioned as well. And guys, if you are looking to get some great business ideas, I have put together what we're calling the top 10 ways to create your own life, but it's actually the top 10 different business ideas that I have learned from people on this show. So if you want to check that out and get your free copy, head over to jeremyryanslate.com/strategy. Give us your name and email, and that'll be sent over to you immediately. Rock on, everybody. Have a great day.
Now go out there and create your own life. Motivation may be great, but action is better. Get it done, my friends.